there are some fundamental changes happening to the education system in Wales.
The needs of children are changing because the world is changing.
A new curriculum.
Changes to the way teachers and school leaders are trained.
New teaching standards.
And new ways of evaluating school performance.
We all need to be kind of treated as individuals rather than a group of children.
This podcast will get to the heart of what's happening.
Speak to the decision makers.
And ask them the questions we'd all like the answers to.
I want every day to be the best day they could possibly have in education.
I'm Louisa Martin-Thomas.
And I'm Mike Bubbins.
From Welsh Government, this is Addysg Cymru, Education Wales.
Hello, Louisa. Lovely to meet you.
You too, Mike. I'm really excited about getting started with this podcast. So, tell me all about yourself.
I'm a writer. I'm a comedian. I'm an all-round entertainer. But education is close to my heart. I am an ex-teacher, 10 years as a PE teacher in secondary school. My wife is a secondary deputy head, and both my kids are in primary and Welsh language primary school. So, the way that education works in Wales and the way that the changes are going to affect my life directly. What about you?
Well, I'm currently deputy head teacher in a secondary school and I've had a brilliant year. I won the UK Teacher of the Year in a secondary school back in 2017. And I also run my own performing arts school, the LMT Academy. I have a vested interest in education, not only for my own personal development, but for my two children who are 4 and 10 and are educated through the medium of Welsh. And I come from a family of teachers. I teach, my husband teaches, my sister teaches, and my mum teaches in a play school. So this is really, really important to me.
What do teachers do that? Because I'm a teacher, my wife's a teacher, my mum was a teacher. We like to keep it in the family. So, Louise, you're a school leader. What do you know about the changes already?
Well, there's loads that I want to find out, but I know change is happening because the world is changing. We're currently working with a curriculum that was designed before anyone thought of the smartphones or tablets or even social media. It's what you would have taught, Mike, before you decided to pack in the teaching for comedy.
Yeah, and that was a long 11 years ago.
Absolutely. And so it's time for a change. And it's designed to help young people thrive in a changing world. Give them the skills and capabilities to adapt to a rapidly changing world of work.
We'll get to the curriculum change later on, but it's not just the curriculum change, is it?
You're right. The new curriculum is only one element. In fact, to make it a success, the whole system is changing, which includes the way teachers get new skills and school leaders develop their skills. There's going to be new teaching standards to help teachers plan their development, a new approach to assessing pupils, and new ways of evaluating school performance. But I want to know more, and that's the whole point of this podcast. So I've been digging into facts and figures to get a real sense of the changes. And you've been out and about. So who have you been speaking to?
I've been talking to a lot of the main dudes, one of the 120 pioneer schools helping to design the curriculum, trying out some of the new ideas, but also talking to the kids to see what's actually going on.
Excellent. Look forward to hearing about it. Okay, so let's give you a bit more detail about these changes. In 2015, Professor Graham Donaldson wrote a report called Successful Futures, in which he made a series of recommendations to the Welsh Government about how education should work in Wales. From there, work began on root and branch reform of the education system. At the heart of this is a brand new curriculum for all children from ages 3 to 16. This new curriculum will be designed from the bottom up, designed by teachers for teachers, ahead of its publication in 2020. The new curriculum will be underpinned by 4 purposes, which will set the direction for the way schools work. The aim is to create ambitious, capable learners who will be ready to learn throughout their lives. Enterprising, creative contributors who are ready to play a full part in life and work. Healthy, confident individuals who are ready to lead fulfilling lives as valued members of the society. And ethical, informed citizens of both Wales and the world. The new curriculum will also set out to give children high digital, literacy and numeracy skills, and also improve their bilingualism and use of other languages. All of this is being organised into 6 so-called areas of learning experience. These are expressive arts, health and well-being, humanities, languages, literacy and communication, mathematics and numeracy, and science and technology.
So, what does this mean in practice? Well, it will mean pupils being taught about things in a way more relevant to real life today. There will be an emphasis on wider skills like critical thinking and problem solving that employers say they are crying out for.
Before we talk to the adults about what they think that means, let's get the views of Welsh kids. I went off to three schools in South Wales to find out what they knew and what they thought of the changes. Starting with the year two pupils of Ysgol y Ddraig in Llantrwm Major. Tim, who's the head teacher? What's his name?
Mr. Golden.
Right, you're Mr. Golden for the day, okay? He's taking a day off. He's gone down to Llantrwm Major Beach. He's having a cup of coffee for the day. He's relaxing. Okay, so he's made you in charge. So it was Jack, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jack, we'll ask everybody the same question. You're in charge of Ysgol y Ddraig for the day. What would you like the teachers to be teaching?
Number work.
A lot of number work. Okay. Just maths all day?
Yeah.
You're going to be a popular head teacher.
Okay, so I will get them to teach us how to make a cake so we can eat them, and teach us how to make a movie and so we can watch it at the end.
So you make your own film. In fact, you could sit down and watch your own film eating your own cake.
Yeah.
Would that be good?
Yeah.
Who'd like to do that? Anyone? Like to make a film and then eat the cake and watch the film? Everyone's liking that idea. What's your favourite subject?
Maths.
Maths, yeah. A lot of mathematicians in the room. What's 2 plus 2?
4.
Correct answer.
That's easy.
Pardon?
That's easy.
Oh, sorry. All right, then what's the square root of 16?
Huh?
Exactly. The answer's 4 to that one as well. Square root of 16. Ask it to maths teacher about square roots. What year are you in?
2.
Yeah, it'll blow their mind. So with the maths teachers at Ysgol y Ddraig needing a lie down, we were off to meet some slightly older primary school children at Ysgol Cynoed Sant, a Welsh medium school in Maesteg, one of 120 schools in Wales already developing the new curriculum, the Pioneer Schools, and they really know their stuff. Bore da, Ysgol Cynoed Sant.
Bore da.
We've been learning a lot about the four purposes and how's that affecting our work and how we're learning in school.
What's the four purposes?
Ambitious, capable learners, enterprising, creative contributors, and ethical, informed citizens, and healthy, confident individuals.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
They're like four purposes that you have to, they were just brought in last year, and they've, in my opinion, they've really helped us work, push to our limits, and how we're using them in our work.
Well, we've had a few projects as a school, and we had penguins before. And everyone had to do like homework, either a PowerPoint or
eat some raw fish, that sort of thing.
No, I had to do a PowerPoint, a poster or something, and stand up in our class and present what facts you've learnt about penguins, and then we would.
Well, that's interesting. Well, that combines then different things, doesn't it? So you're doing a little bit of research, a bit of geography, a bit of.
And with the creative project, we've done a few creative projects. Before, we've done cooking, and we had to make soup, smoothies.
Do you like working, Dylan? Do you like working that way? Do you like?
Yeah, I like working that way because it helps us with our work. It helps us to be more confident within doing our work because when we work that way, it doesn't only make us confident, it makes pretty much the whole school pretty confident too.
Then we got back on the road and headed east to Risca Community Comprehensive School, where year 9 pupils are already starting to worry about the way the world works and how school can help them through it.
We hope that education will change because we can learn about different politics and learn about politicians so we know who to vote for. And then also we need to learn to avoid fake news as well. Like we need to learn what news stations to trust and which ones not to trust and what stories to believe and what ones not to believe.
Each child has different abilities and so I feel like everyone needs a choice. Like in PE you can choose whether to do, I don't know, dance or rugby. There needs to be an element of choice, but obviously there needs to be some things you have to do or the curriculum just will be like non-existent. Mm. But yeah, I think we all need to be kind of treated as individuals rather than a group of children.
We need more support
with finances and things like that, so that we'll be able to know how to deal with avoiding debt and things like that.
Oh, yeah. So learn about credit cards and bank accounts.
Yeah. So that we'll, you know, when we go out of school, we won't be as stuck as some people.
The children of Ysgol Athroig Primary School in Lantrip Major, Ysgol Cynoed Saint School in Maesteg, and Risca Community Comprehensive. I have the heads of two of those schools with me now, Ty Golding from Ysgol Athroig and Tegwyn Ellis from Ysgol Cynoed Saint. What do you make of what you've heard from the children?
I think it's quite refreshing, isn't it, to have the opinion of the children, particularly the secondary children from Risca Comp there, talking about having more input and more decision-making ability within what they learn, regarding especially the financial matters. And I think really, you know, it is for us, isn't it, as teachers and head teachers and school leaders, to take advantage of the opportunity of not just listening to what the children want in school, but to be able to act upon that and provide that sense of agency that they can follow through and they are able to engage, feel ownership of their learning, in order that they, you know, the greater the ownership they have, the more ability they have to affect change upon themselves and understand where they're going and what they need to do.
It's interesting as well. I think the younger the pupils are, they talk about the here and now, perhaps their last lesson or something that was of interest to them last week. But obviously we're trying to provide them with a future of skills as well that they can draw upon. So it's actually getting the balance between what we know we need to teach them as skills, but also keeping in mind their interests and what keeps them engaged in learning.
I think I'm going to paraphrase one of the Risca kids there. Talked about you need some framework. So is the challenge to give kids a choice, but at the same time give them boundaries and give them...
Yes, it is. It's not a free-for-all, otherwise, that you know, there needs to be direction, there needs to be a framework. And it needs to be, I don't like the word controlled, but that's the role of the teacher here, is to ensure that we are planning for progression. So the children like the idea of having pupil voice and pupil choice, and quite rightly so. Let's teach them what they want to learn, but there needs to be some kind of understanding that the skills and the knowledge are in partnership. It's not about the knowledge alone, it's not about the skills alone, it's about bringing those two together and ensuring that there's progression in the learning as they go forward.
So Tegwyn, you and Ty are both involved heavily in these reforms that are coming into education in Wales. So what are you, for your part there, what are you doing?
Well, as the head of Ysgol Cynoed Saint, this school has been given pioneer school status for professional learning and also for curriculum. So with that gives us the responsibility of actually piloting and informing the way forward. So we've been a part of this now for a few years. And in fact, I suppose for us, this wasn't completely a new way of thinking. We were engaged in this way of thinking prior to a curriculum reform. So I'm very fortunate that I've got an engaging staff, a very, very good leadership team that were willing to do things differently, rather than work from planning.
What about you, Ty?
So my role, I work within the curriculum design and development team in Welsh Government. I've been seconded in from school for 2 years, and I really work alongside the Welsh Government, the regional leads, and a number of other partners, including ESTIN and Qualifications Wales, to help support the design and the development of this curriculum with what we call curriculum pioneers through each of the areas of learning and experience. And I will be in post until July 2019 in order that we can see that through, and in order that we can bring the six elements of that curriculum and all the wider implications together as a single coherent curriculum presentation.
Thank you, Ty, Tegwyn, diolch yn fawr. Let's just hold on to those thoughts and we'll be back with you in a second.
In order to make sure that the new way of learning is really having the desired impact, the changes to Wales' new curriculum are being underpinned by four other major pieces of work happening in the run-up to 2022. Firstly, developing a high-quality education profession, setting out to establish a new approach to professional learning and career development. In the short term, the focus is on helping teachers improve children's digital skills and knowledge of STEM subjects. The second enabling objective is to create inspirational leaders and work collaboratively to raise standards. This will see a new National Academy for Educational Leadership being created and new professional teaching standards introduced. Thirdly, a commitment to excellence, equity and well-being. This sets out to make sure that all children are supported to overcome any barriers that get in the way of their learning. Finally, to create a new framework for evaluation and accountability of schools themselves. This is the subject of a fundamental review of the system by Welsh Government, working with schools, unions, regional educational consortia and employers, as well as studying best practice internationally. There'll be updates on the progress of accountability and all aspects of the work going on in coming podcasts.
So Ty and Tegwyn are still with me, but I'm also now joined by Dylan Jones, who is the assistant head at Ysgol Glan Clwyd School in St Asaph, and also one of the people looking after health and wellbeing changes. Dylan, why do you think we need these changes?
Currently, we're working to a system that was designed in 1988 for children in 2018 or 20 and beyond, which currently doesn't suit the children of today. That is primarily the focus of it. The new curriculum design will be focusing primarily on children as the centre of the new curriculum, giving children and schools autonomy of what is taught for the context of their own establishment, giving teachers also creativity and feeding the learning through the creativity of the teachers. And I think as a profession, perhaps that's been taken away due to accountability measures, I suppose, of teaching to exams, perhaps.
Just to follow up on what Dylan said there, and it is about that provision and autonomy for teachers and schools, and that ability to be flexible, like you said. And I think perhaps that flexibility, or that the perception has been that we haven't had that flexibility or that ability in schools to do what we need when we need to do it for the best to meet the needs of the children and learners that we have in our care. And I suppose for me as a head teacher, it needs to be really helping everyone in Wales move towards a more experience-based learning, you know, making sure that we understand that assessment is more about formative and it's developmental and it's part of a process, and learning and teaching, you know, it is a cyclical and an actually intertwined process. But fundamentally, I suppose, the needs of children are changing because the needs and the environment and the landscape of the world is changing, you know, whether that's globalisation, whether that's digital technology. And we need to provide these children with the broad base and the understanding of learning and what it is to be a learner and what they are to be learners in order that they become more adaptable for change.
I was a teacher for 10 years and my wife is a deputy head now. The reason that I left teaching was workload. I mean, on my wife's workload, she doesn't complain about it. I complain about it on her behalf. But I mean, I think from a teaching point of view, I think what a lot of teachers want to hear about is this going to mean more work? Is it going to mean an increase in the number of hours per week that they have to put into education?
I should hope not. And I think the purpose of this curriculum is to ensure that that doesn't happen. The current curriculum, from my opinion, it was designed, and as it's developed, there's been a lot of add-ons to it. And these haven't been designed into the current curriculum. So every time there's a new initiative nationally, it's an add-on to teachers' workload. But having the principles now of having to design it from today onwards, or whenever when you start your design, all these principles should be incorporated into your curriculum design within your own school. So having the cross-curricular activities and having the skills incorporated in together will all be there. One thing that needs to be developed better, I suppose, in nationally is the professional learning aspect of it, and ensuring that teachers have the creative skills to be able to design a curriculum for them that's suitable for the children in front of them as well. Having that will, in my opinion, reduce workload on children, on staff members and school teachers, due to having the expertise and the knowledge that they will try and provide children.
You know, I've been in the teaching profession for 30 years, and for the last 20 I've been a leader, and when you see what's happened to the profession and the workload, that has to change. And I think for the first time I can actually say there's cohesion there now with the policies in place to support education. There's joined up thinking between successful futures, professional learning, and the requirements of the next steps for our pupils for their future. It's certainly there. Now, the thing for us as a profession is we need to make sure the leaders and the teachers within need to make sure that we don't create this to be something it's not either. So instead of trying to go and do something and keep doing what we've always done, because we've always done it that way, is not the way forward. This is about taking the good bits. It's not about throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's about taking the good bits, the successful bits, the cornerstones of actually what does work, and moving forward and creating a completely different way of thinking.
And I think, you know, we've talked and referred to curriculum quite a lot over the last sort of 10 minutes or so, but it's really key to understand, isn't it, that curriculum is only a small part of this reform, as you said. And this reform is actually, it is coherent, it is cohesive, but it's far-reaching as well. You know, we're talking about reforms to accountability, reforms to professional learning around assessment alongside curriculum as well, leadership reform, the Welsh language reform, we've got digital reform going on, and we've also got the new ALN bill as well. If we look at that as a national picture, that is a huge level of reform, only which part of that is the curriculum. And it's really important that our colleagues and our practitioners out there appreciate that and take full advantage in order to affect this change.
Well, the phrase they're using is transformational curriculum. So what does that, tell you what does that mean?
It's about providing that flexibility and autonomy for schools. It's about providing a structure at a curriculum level that allows schools to be able to reach and adhere to what quite rightly all children in Wales should have access to, but also to give you the individual capacity as a school leader and as a teacher to deliver what those children need in the context of their locality, nationally and globally as well. And it's really about making sure that we move learning on, we move the understanding of learning on as well, and we move the profession on as a profession with that and to complement that.
And will there still be, if this is a layman's question maybe, will there still be subjects, will there still be, you know, subject disciplines within education?
Well, if you look at Successful Futures, it doesn't say this is the end of disciplines, it doesn't say this is the end of subjects. What it does stress is it's really important that we take advantage around the new areas of learning and experience, of which there are six, to make sure that we can make the links between those traditional subjects and those traditional disciplines, that we make sure that children and learners appreciate the links between those, but also the links, as I said earlier, and the bridging towards the outside and the real world as well. You know, we have variables as we're going through the system. This is a new process. We haven't encountered or can't take learning from another country who's done it in this way. We are using teachers to develop a curriculum and to help support the design of a curriculum for teachers. That's unique. This is an iterative process. We are learning as we're going along. Inevitably, we're going to go down cul-de-sacs and we need to, you know, make U-turns. But also, the process itself is actually building a greater understanding of what is curriculum, you know, what is pedagogy, what is professional learning, and what do we need to do about that as we go forward.
Is there going to be specific training as part of this new package of reforms?
Well, the idea behind the thinking is that schools will be working more collaboratively together, that there aren't going to be packages and people can go online and find a course to answer. It's about understanding from within about what needs to change, and when working and sharing with networks within schools, because for a long time teachers have worked in isolation in their own classes. They come to school, they might do some co-planning, but actually once they're in their classroom, they're alone. So within schools, that culture needs to change. A lot more triad working or quad working, I heard this week, and that was going on in a school where there was co-planning and co-observing, coaching, co-coaching and co-reflection going on. So there's a lot more shared understanding now and helping each other about improving practice. And of course, the school-to-school work is another aspect which needs to be encouraged to enable schools to actually learn from each other. Whilst we understand that each context of each school is different, actually there's a commonality between the practice of pedagogy that can be lifted and used across sector, across language, and across other areas of Wales too.
The creativity of a teacher has been sort of devalued or, you know, de-skilled, and therefore not allowing them to do things that they wanted to do professionally. So a lot of the creativity and the answers are probably within the school itself already, but it's not giving them the time to be able to do that. Now, reducing the workload and reducing, if the planning is efficient and effective, what that will allow is for teachers to be creative and this to have an effective impact in schools from within.
Without being too flip, I mean, when I was a PE teacher, if there had been a little bit more trust in my abilities as a teacher from the people above me, then maybe my dance lesson, where I try to teach history and music by doing Rasputin by Boney M with the kids, wouldn't have been so poorly received by senior management.
You probably would have got a rah-rah from me from that mic.
Yeah, maybe it was your choice of music which let you down there.
I do like a bit of Boney M. If you're in a leadership team at a school now, we're in 2018, what can you start to do to prepare yourself for the changes that are coming?
You need to start from within. You need to start with what is good in your school. Don't look at the list and think, oh, how are we going to do that? Look at what you're already doing, which actually is already in practice. Because when you look at the standards and you look at pedagogical principles within the Successful Futures, and you look at the four purposes, it does all make sense because it's all joined up. But you can almost see those light bulb moments when the staff themselves start seeing, oh, that's there, and that, oh, I can see that now, and I can see why we're doing that. And it just becomes a common framework of thinking within the school.
And I suppose something we've never had before, really, is the why. You know, it's not what you do, it's the why that you do it, isn't it? I think that's the key behind it all.
So what would you like to see for the deputies, or people who may be deputies or heads in 18 months' time? What sort of qualities are we looking for in within school leadership groups?
I break it down in my head, really. As a head, it's my responsibility to identify those future leaders. It's my responsibility to intervene and provide the experiences and the opportunities. And then it's my responsibility, really, to support and nurture them, to take those opportunities and to move on and take that learning with them. I suppose I'm throwing a question out now and taking over Mike's job, sorry. But do you
could you do a gig for me in Leeds on Saturday? That would be very helpful.
Yes. I'll have to learn the words to all Boney M songs first. But if we have to identify as school leaders the potential leaders in our staff and identify what they need and how to get there, do you think that we have across Wales that capacity and that ability in all leaders to find out and identify in their staff who those are? And if not, what can we do about it?
I can just say, I was going to ask the same question.
Okay. Well, in my response to that, again, would be, if we think assessment for learning is good for pupils and therefore we can use it with our staff, if the four purposes are important for our pupils, then they're equally important for our teachers and our professionals as well. So we need to create aspirational leaders from within our profession, and to ensure that when we're supporting our leaders going forward, that they know why they're doing it and why they want to do it. And I think it's that aspiration, isn't it? And again, traditionally, people have thought, why would I want to be ahead and have all of that responsibility and that accountability? Is that people need to understand how the profession works as well.
And I suppose a lot of our job, whether we like it or not, you know, I would go as far as saying maybe 95% of our job can be compliance. You know, it can be procedural. And I think it's about helping others and helping ourselves identify where that 5% of innovation and creativity and opportunity to take risk appears, and not just to identify it, to then seize the day, as it were, and take that chance. But it's a very difficult task, isn't it, to try and convey and deliver that and ensure that's happening in all the schools, you know, the 1,600 plus schools across Wales.
Listen, this is about pupils, this is about children, and as leaders, yes, you are right. Sometimes it becomes more managerial as well. We're managing a system. And I think the thing that keeps me on the ground is reminding myself that I'm doing this to try and make a difference for them. Pupils are why we do it.
Yeah. Why do we go to school? Isn't it? You know, why do we get out of bed every morning and come in, you know? And why do we want to be there doing that?
I want every day to be the best day they can possibly have in education. And that's when I get a little bit about funding, what have you, is that, you know, this is today for them. And they're only in our primary system for a very short time. They're only in our secondary system for a very short time before they're out in the big wide world. So we need to make sure that we give them the best possible opportunities so they can have those best experiences. You can't voice an opinion on something where you haven't had that concrete experience. So that's why it's our vision. at Cynwysand to be able to do that.
I think what you're saying there is it's the health and well-being of all, and I think that's current. And you know what we're talking about today is also the health and well-being of children, staff, and how it all supports each other, because the health and well-being of everybody underpins everything else. If that's successful, hopefully we can move forward.
Dylan, we mentioned briefly the health and well-being. This is a new part of the curriculum. Can you just explain, for those who don't know, why it's so important and what it is?
For a lot of people, and for the majority of teachers, we understand that this underpins everything else. If children's health and well-being is good, it allows them to access the curriculum successfully and allows them to reach their potential and their full potential. I think having this as a focal point on the curriculum, it'll be key to each school and allows children in Wales to successfully compete with children internationally. The current system isn't allowing us to compete internationally, and having this as a focal point and something that underpins everything else, I think we'll be successful.
Can I just, devil's advocate question? A criticism may be that, you know, and I've heard this when I was teaching, we're not social workers, right? That's our job, is to educate people. So what would you say to that?
I think children are in school more time than they are anywhere else. And I think that's key. And I think that is important that we don't take that on. And I think, you know, teachers understand children exceptionally well. And we have the time within the curriculum, within the new framework, to allow us to provide early intervention for children that isn't turning us into social workers, is allowing us to give the children the understanding, the knowledge and the skills to deal with situations that they'll come across in their lives. We all understand the context that we work, and each school has their own different context, and we can provide and we can tailor the experiences that we give children within our schools for that context that they're in.
It was something as simple when I was teaching PE that if you got a class full of happy kids, it just made my job easier.
Of course it does.
Academia is not for everyone, and we do need other people around us as well. We need to recognise that our children are individuals, and we don't actually put them all in the same box and expect them to have all the same outcomes. So what this new education will allow individuals to become who they want to be and be aspirational.
Well, thanks all very much. Thank you to Ty, thank you to Dylan, thank you to Eglin.
So let's talk timescales. Well, 120 schools are helping to develop the new curriculum so that it can be ready to be published for consultation in 2019. The final version will be ready for use at the start of 2020. Nursery through to Year 7 at all schools will be using the new curriculum from 2022, and then from Years 8 to 11 in the 4 years after that. Meanwhile, new professional teaching standards are starting to be adopted in 2018, starting with a new intake of teacher training students. And following that review I mentioned earlier, new thinking about a framework for school evaluation and accountability has been discussed with secondary head teachers, with primary school heads getting involved in those discussions in the summer of 2018. So, Mike, what did you learn?
It was pretty interesting, actually. I mean, I try to go through life not learning anything, really. But it was good talking to those lot about the way things are going to change, hopefully for the better. Sounds very positive. Sounds like it's change for the reason, not just change for the sake of it. What do you think?
Well, I've learned lots of things about the new curriculum and Professor Donaldson's successful futures, and certainly about the timescales. And it's a really, really exciting time for teachers and for education. I certainly look forward to the future and what it brings for me as a professional, and certainly what it brings to the young people of the future. But I'm really eager to know how this curriculum translates into the classroom.
Well, yeah, well, I think we can dig into the curriculum a bit more next time. I'm hoping that my bony M, you know, history through dance, will catch on.
Maybe. We'll see. Addysg Cymru, Education Wales, is presented by Mike Bubbins and me, Louisa Martin-Thomas. It's a Welsh Government production.